So much. Wow. What a joy to sing and be sung to and to listen and to be greatly blessed. So thank you, guys. God sent the angel Gabriel to the Virgin Mary to announce in one way that the culmination of biblical world history was coming to a point on this moment. That the Son of God would be born. She would conceive and bear a son. And that son would be the Son of God Most High. Luke chapter 1 records the story, and I won't read it to you again, but we will look at just briefly this evening, verses 30 through 33 in the angelic announcement. In verse 30, and the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David." The child to be born would be the greatest gift ever given in the universe. A gift given by God Himself, the source of eternal life to everyone who believes. But you must believe in the right Jesus. You must believe in the Jesus who Gabriel announced, who would be born in Bethlehem, who would grow and who is revealed to us in Scripture and offer Himself up on the cross for the forgiveness of all our sins. You must believe in Him who is the Savior, who is God in the flesh, and who is the great King. And this is what Gabriel reveals to Mary about the Son that she will bear. He is the Savior, He is the incarnation of God, and He is the eternal King. Jesus is the Savior. It's found in His name. His name is Yeshua in Hebrew, or could be translated Joshua, which means the Lord is salvation. His name speaks to the saving character of His mission. Why did He come? This is such an important question, and there's so much misunderstanding about why Jesus came. So many false teachers teach that Jesus came to bless us in this life, that we would be healthy, wealthy, and wise, so to speak, that we should not be inconvenienced, that Jesus came for my comfort. Well, friends, His 12 closest followers, 12 apostles, 11 of them died for their faith. Jesus was not concerned to bless His closest followers with worldly wealth, comforts in this life, or exceedingly long and healthy lives. After the ascension, they essentially dispersed throughout the known world and were martyred one after another for the name and for the cause of Jesus Christ. Jesus was a great teacher, the greatest teacher ever born, but He did not come only to give great teaching. He is the holiest man that ever lived, but He did not come only to show us how to live. Jesus' name gives us the clue to His mission. He is salvation. And the Bible clearly reveals that mission to us. When Joseph discovered, probably the clearest statement, is when Joseph discovered that his betrothed wife, Mary, whom betrothal was an engagement period. It was not a time when you came together yet. And so they were righteous people. They had not yet come together. She was a virgin. But he discovers that she's pregnant. And so he, being a righteous man, the Bible tells us, decided in his heart that he would divorce her quietly, not subject her to shame, not bring her before the law, which said she should be stoned, but to quietly divorce her. The Lord intervenes and sends an angel. You know the story. He comes to tell Joseph that that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And then the angel speaks these words to Joseph in Matthew 1:21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Friends, this is the mission of Jesus. Jesus was born to die. He was born to come on a rescue mission to save his people from their sins. Who is his people? Who are they? His people are everyone who will put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to save us from our sins. Some people say, well, Jesus came to make peace so we can all coexist. He came for world peace. Well, that's a little off too. Isaiah prophesied that the child that was coming that I read at the beginning of our service is called the Prince of Peace. And so certainly he is. And at his second coming, when he comes back to reign and rule, there will be world peace. But when the Bible speaks of peace in the New Testament, it speaks of peace with God. Not just an inner, good, comforting feeling, but peace with God who is the holy and righteous judge, who always does what is just and right, and who metes out punishment for every sin, every single sin. You say, Jim, how is anyone saved? How does anyone have hope if every sin is judged by God? Well, the hope is Christ. Because when he died on the cross, what he was doing was taking the punishment that your sins deserve. And so now through faith, if you put your faith in Christ, the righteousness of Christ is counted to you and you don't pay that penalty. Christ has already paid it for you. But if you don't put your faith in Christ, there is no peace with God. Very clearly, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Paul wrote, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus came to make peace, but he came to make peace between you and a holy, righteous God. His sacrifice is sufficient for the cleansing of all your sins. Jesus is the Savior. Gabriel, the angel, revealed this to Mary. And secondly, he's revealed that her son would be the very incarnation of God. He said he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Great is megas in Greek, means extraordinary, magnificent, supreme, noble, powerful. It's one word that sums up all of that and even more. Great is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord, and he is the Great One. He possesses the very nature of God. This is what Son of the Most High means. The Greek word there, its equivalent in the Old Testament, is used for God himself, El Elyon. It is a title that refers to his position as the supreme and sovereign ruler of the universe. To identify Jesus as the Son of the Most High is to affirm that he is of the same essence of God. And you remember in Isaiah, the son that would be born, chapter 9, verse 6, the child that is given is mighty God, everlasting Father. Jesus is equal to God. He is Yahweh incarnate. It speaks of the deity of Christ. John wrote in John 1:14, the Word, speaking of Jesus, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. In Isaiah, of course, we've read twice now, or maybe three times already this evening. In Isaiah 7:14, he is Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. God with us. Jesus is the incarnation of God. And friends, everywhere in the New Testament testifies to the deity of Christ. Titus said he is the whole fullness of deity dwells in him bodily in Colossians 2:9. Paul wrote to Titus and said, "Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." And I could read many, many more. The New Testament ascribes to Jesus things that only God can do. Jesus is called the creator of the universe. He forgives sins. He is the judge on the final day. He is omniscient, he is omnipotent, and he is immutable. The full deity of Jesus Christ is central to the gospel. If Jesus is not fully God, his atonement on the cross does not forgive you of your sins. And so the angel Gabriel revealed to Mary that the child she would give birth to is God incarnate. He is the Savior. He is God in the flesh. And lastly, Jesus is the eternal King. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Jesus reigns forever with an unending reign in his kingdom. It is a kingdom that is coming. Christ did not establish his kingdom upon the earth at his first coming. He, of course, made sacrifice for sin. He accomplished eternal redemption for everyone who believes. But Christ reigns now in his people, in their hearts who put their faith in him. We become kingdom citizens. Colossians 1, 13 and 14 says, "He has delivered us from the domain," or the kingdom, "of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Through faith in Christ, every believer is a member of the Lord's spiritual kingdom, and now Christ reigns in your hearts through faith. He reveals his will to us clearly in his word and puts his Holy Spirit into everyone who believes. At his second coming, when he comes again bodily, his earthly reign will be established in the earth. He will be the Lion of the tribe of Judah who sits on his glorious throne, judging the nations with a rod of iron. On Sunday mornings, we've been studying the Gospel of Matthew. We've been looking at the parables of Matthew 13. In the parable of the weeds in the field, we learn that at the final judgment, the weeds will be gathered together representing non-believers, and they will be burned in the fiery furnace. And the wheat will be gathered and brought into the Lord's barn, representing the Lord bringing us home to heaven. Now is the time, friends. Now is the time to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born at the holiday we celebrate as Christmas. Gabriel announced to Mary that her son would be the Savior. He would be God in the flesh, and he would be the great and eternal King of the world. How you respond to Gabriel's message tonight, how you respond to the great Son who was born, will determine your eternal future, your eternal destiny. At his first coming, Christ came to save, and the message of Christmas is this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You will receive the gift of eternal life. It is not by works. It is through faith and faith alone. The scripture could not be clearer. You trust in him. That's faith, trusting in him, turning your heart to God, confessing you're a sinner in need of forgiveness. And the grace of God is poured out through his Son by the Holy Spirit into everyone's heart who believes. And you will receive the greatest gift ever given, and that is eternal life. Would you pray with me this evening? Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you and we praise you for your Son whom we celebrate tonight, Christ the Lord who is born, who is the Savior of all. He is God incarnate, Lord. He is the King that is coming back. We look, Lord, with anticipation for him to come. But tonight, Lord, we pray that you would be with those who have yet to put their trust in you, who have yet to put their full faith in you. Lord, may they receive tonight that gift of eternal life that is freely given to everyone who believes. Lord, I pray that if anyone here is yet to do that, that tonight would be the night that they receive the greatest gift that they have ever received. And Lord, we give you thanks, we give you praise, and we rejoice in your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's children said, amen.